T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston, a radio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zuti. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Hour number 3 of NFL Sunday. It is Keefe and Curran here with you today up until 1 o'clock on WEEI. Fourier and Wiggy have the day off. You can stream the show anywhere, WEEI.com or the radio.com app. And you can join the program at 617-779-7937. Of course, 3 games yesterday, 3 more games today. But one of the big stories, and it definitely has a Patriots tie-in very much, as Nick Caserio, Tom, joins the Houston Texans. And one of the first things he has to deal with, it sounds like, is a very unhappy elite quarterback. And that has led people to speculating all over the place what it would possibly take to trade for Deshaun Watson. I guess my first question would be, any chance, like what kind of percentage chance would you give the Houston Texans dealing him away?
I would say less than 5. They are on the record getting it out to John McClain this week from the Houston Chronicle that he's not going to be traded. Now, they sidestepped it at their press conference introducing Nick Caserio this week, and they should, because you don't want to sit there at a press conference introducing and say, yeah, we're not... Guy's got no shot of getting out of here, even if he wants to. So I understand why they would do that, but it has to be less than 5%. You find a way to make sure that you have got his, at least, belief, if not trust, going forward.
It should be, like, 0%. Like, that's what it should be. You have Deshaun Watson, just like, he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes, but it's the same thing. Kansas City's not trading Mahomes. A couple years ago, Russell Wilson not getting traded. However, it has not gotten to the NBA level. Like, it's not even close to that. But Jalen Ramsey and Minka Fitzpatrick, I know they're non-quarterbacks, but they were stud. They're both first-team All-Pros this year. They were young, and they were on teams that, you know, drafted them and all this other stuff, but they wanted out, and if they put up enough of a stink, they were out.
Jamal Adams, too.
And Jamal Adams, good one. So three guys, all in the secondary, all wanted out.
Trent Williams. I mean, we can go right through it, too. Trent Williams.
Yeah. But where's the quarterback on that list? That's where we haven't really seen that. But if Deshaun Watson really, really wants out, at some point, doesn't Houston have to say, all right, let's open this up and let's try to Herschel Walker this and get the biggest possible return? Because if he doesn't want to be here, like, what else can we do to convince him?
Well, you have to really take the temperature of your fan base and your organization, I think. And, you know, I think Caserio was signed to a 6-year deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you got a bunch of years. Yeah, I think it was 6.
So, look, if you say goodbye to Deshaun Watson, you can say goodbye to J.J. Watt. Even if you're not already saying goodbye to J.J. Watt and his $18 million cap hit this year.
Yeah.
So, what happens then in Houston? fans go away, but not even fans. It's corporate sponsors go away. People are like, well, I'm out on these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go root for the Houston Cougars or something, or the Astros, or play golf. So yeah. You're really going to put your franchise, if you don't have any hood ornaments at all, in a 3 to 4 year rebuild. And how long does it take to find a Deshaun Watson? Look, we can agree that what he did to the Patriots was him at his very, very best. But even at his worst, he's still stupid good.
He is. And I think, I guess the one argument that Houston could make when they're, I mean, he was great and they won 4 games. So they're obviously a long ways away. They need a lot of things to turn it around. They obviously need a head coach, which Deshaun Watson wants to be a big part of the hiring process. Thought he was going to be a part of the general manager hiring process. Turns out he wasn't. They just told him it's going to be Nick Caserio. So he's upset. I wonder if you get such an overwhelming haul in a return. Now, people are still going to be pissed. I mean, Deshaun Watson's the guy. But if you're getting 3 first-round picks and a couple of players that are young and you can sort of talk yourself into, I don't know. I mean, maybe that softens the blow just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it can soften the blow. But here's the interesting thing about that team. You're right now, they have an ownership issue, right? Because
yes.
Bob McNair died. Cal McNair has taken over. Jack Easterby has usurped seemingly the power. They kind of lied about whether or not Easterby was going to be involved and in charge of the search. So they don't have the trust of the players. Jack Easterby somehow has puppet mastered this whole situation and the ownership. So at the same time, you have really a philosophical off-field conversation, social justice-wise, because they are rock-ribbed Republicans in the McNair family.
Mm-hmm.
There is very much a mentality, and McNair actually butchered the cliche, but uttered it.
Yeah, he did.
Saying the inmates running the asylum as opposed to the patients. But be that as it may, that left a sting.
Whoops. Yeah.
And all of those things conspire when Kenny Stills is on the roster and Deshaun Watson's on the roster and these guys have worked hard to try and make their voices and their concerns heard to say, do I even want to play here? It's a mess with a guy who's puppet master in the whole thing. We don't share philosophically the same views on things. We keep smashing our opportunities and talent into the into a brick wall. We've traded away so much. The Miami Dolphins have our friggin' third pick.
Right.
So, I just don't know if I was a player, if I'm a Deshaun Watson, if I'd say, you know what, I don't even want to play here.
Can I jump in and ask Tom a question here?
Why, sure.
Of course, Josh.
So just feeding off of that, right? And obviously, he couldn't have predicted that this was going to come this offseason.
Yes.
Him not having a say in who they interview for GM and coach. But you had already mentioned there was already kind of a big keeping power of you know what. If that was the case, money talks, obviously. Why sign the contract extension?
You're right. And I said that.
$200 million. Yeah.
Yeah, you know who the owner is.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think the promise, and that's, thank you, I went off on a tangent. That's the interesting thing, Josh and Rich, about where Caserio is coming into. He just spent 20 years in an organization which the greatest player of all time didn't have a voice. Now he has to go in here and check if Deshaun Watson likes the moves they're about to make.
Yeah.
And that's going to be culture shock.
And there's, for some reason, they're the only team as of this moment, unless this has changed, that they're not going to interview Eric Bieniemy. And Deshaun Watson apparently likes Eric Bieniemy.
They're just asking for issues.
Like, how can you not be? How can you not interview him? Like, what's the point? Like, you don't have to hire him. But then also I wonder, is that the only way to get Deshaun Watson back on board is if you hire the coach that he wants? And then Nick's like, I didn't have final say in New England. I thought I was having final say in Houston. And now my first decision is hiring the guy that the quarterback wants and I don't want?
I would run like hell from anything Jack Easterby is involved in. And I'm not saying that everything that he does, look, he's helped innumerable people. And there's people I like, Scott Pioli, Rob Mayo, the McCourty, Slater, who swear by him.
Yeah, they love him.
McDaniels. But he's too Machiavellian. He's too much of wanting to accumulate power so he can do things in his own fashion. And you're going to get yourself into a situation, and he has, where he's got all this power and it's just the vision isn't going to – You have to be more of a politician than a backroom double dealer.
Why do you think Caserio took that job?
He wanted out.
So was there no other jobs available? Didn't
Pretty
he interview
much.
With Carolina or no?
I think there was an interview process there, but I mean, if you look at, he was blocked in 2017 before Easterby even got to
Houston. 19, right? Was it 2 years ago?
Well, he was blocked in 17, as Monty Austin for it.
Right.
So they blocked both of those opportunities in 2017. That was the same year that Patricia and McDaniels were seeking jobs. But at that point, everybody kind of said, you know what? It's just, things are going sideways here. It's probably a time to move on. And many did, and many have continued to do so. And Nick wanted out. And Easterby pitched him on what is, obviously. I mean, think about that. Korn Ferry, the search group, comes back with five candidates. Nick is the sixth. They hire him and give him a six-year contract. The other thing was just a complete and utter dog and pony show. 6 years. It's not even like, well, we went through this long process.
No, it's crazy.
It was a dog and pony show.
Do you have any idea of Nick Caserio's relationship with Easterby? Because as you said...
Very close.
Okay. Okay, because like you said, there are plenty who speak very, very highly of him. And then there are also, you know, I just have read stuff. Like, I'll read all those different stories about him. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, this guy, I'm getting away from him. Like, I don't know how he's managed to move up the ladder the way that he has. However, certain people love him. So if Caserio likes him, it's not viewed as a negative to him.
Well, you look at the people who love him, and coincidentally, they all happen to be people in great levels of power.
Yeah.
Or highly successful people who are going to be people of influence, whether it's Pioli in Kansas City or, on down the line, all these guys who are in positions to pull levers, he's cozied up to.
Who do you think Caserio wants to bring as his head coach? Is it Daboll?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. My understanding is it's going to be Brian Daboll. And, you know, with McDaniels, I think that it's just going to be too hard to sell, which is what John McClain from Houston had mentioned. And then it's also been reported, I mentioned it last week, that it was going to be too hard to sell for McDaniels to go there after O'Brien, especially after Caserio, with the fan base that's already got torches and pitchforks out. But I think there's an assumption, too, that, look, because McDaniels and Caserio played college football together, they're definitely in, you know, lockstep on what they want to do. I don't think anybody can look at the Patriots offense right now and start doing jumping jacks about what they've got personnel-wise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Nick was involved in that.
Right.
Intimately. Yeah,
that's why I just think he's a tough guy to evaluate for me on the outside. We talked about this when you were on with Dale and Keefe on Wednesday about, I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but it's just in 20 years, and then really the last, 10 or 12, when he's been even more directly involved in the player personnel, like, I don't know what to give him credit for, what to blame him for, what is it, is there somewhere in the middle? So now that he's in Houston, we'll really get an opportunity, and his first move is, well, you got to smooth things over with Deshaun Watson. That would be first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, here's the interesting thing, and it's funny, my boss was talking to me about this the other day. How come the Patriots have so much difficulty, or have had recently in the past 8 years, because you can't say the Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower weren't great picks, but
right,
they've had their travails with first and second round picks, but they murder it with the undrafted guys. So
that to me might speak to
it's a scouting thing, I think.
Yeah.
Bill's more concerned with the guys at the top of the draft, and he'll trump you and say, you know what, I don't care how you guys feel, I'm taking Jamie Collins.
Right. But hey, we saw something in this J.C. Jackson guy. Can we bring him in? He's like,
yeah,
fine.
This guy. Yeah, let's keep him around.
Turns out not bad.
It's wild, but Nick has, and that's one of the interesting things that we'll watch throughout this offseason, Nick has run free agency by and large.
Mm.
They set a course, and Nick executes it. But we've seen Bill in the Bahamas. We've seen him in Costa Rica. Oh, we've seen him in different places. Yep. Nick runs it. Bill acknowledges that, makes no secret of it. And now this team has $60 million at the low end, perhaps even $80 to $90 or even $100 million, depending upon some other moves. If Hightower retires, for instance, or they move on from some other players, he's going to have to be the point man.
Yeah.
Bill is in recruiting, convincing, showing, okay, this team isn't without talent, we're going to be in a good spot here. So that to me is fascinating to watch.
How do they go about replacing Caserio? Is there somebody that's obvious it's in-house, or could they possibly bring somebody back that had a similar job, or yeah. what do they do?
Dave Ziegler is the most obvious choice to elevate. He's okay. been in the personnel department for a long time. Monty Austin Fort has left. He's with Tennessee right now. I don't think that he would be rehired to come back. I think that he was anxious to move on from Foxborough as well. But, you know, Bob Quinn's out of a job. Thomas Dimitroff's out of a job. Scott Pioli's out of a job. But for all of them, and really for Caserio and for Austin Fort both, there was a point in which they're like, okay, I got to do my own thing here.
Yeah.
You know, I really, do those guys want to come back to doing a job they did when they were 33?
Yeah, probably not. Especially two out of those three guys had some pretty good success away from here. So, yeah, that's interesting.
And does Bill want him back? See, that's the interesting thing. When you look at Bill, whether it's coaching staff, scouting, he wants to instill his way of thinking, scouting, and operating philosophically
right
in people. He doesn't really, he's not dying to have a lot of outside influence and veteran coaches that, you know, to come in with all their newfangled ideas.
Mm. All right, let's go to the phones right now. We have Kelly in Amherst. He joins us next here on NFL Sunday. Keefe and Kern, what's going on, Kelly?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show so far today.
Thank you.
I just want to share a couple thoughts about Tom Brady here. I was kind of anti-Tom during the year. I know that sounds crazy. But I just, you know, the Rona lockdown, I haven't had a lot to do. I got swept up in this whole Belichick versus Brady thing, let's say, right? But once the season ended, the whole thing has shifted for me. And I really, really enjoyed watching Tom Brady add to his stats, get some more playoff TDs that he wasn't going to get here, you know? And another thing, too, is earlier in the season, why does he need to bring in all these guys? You know, why does he need to bring in Gronk? Why does he need to bring in Antonio Brown? You know, what's his problem? It's like, oh, he has to have all Hall of Famers. That was me knocking on him. But looking at it last night, man, I don't know how great these guys really were in Buffalo. You know, like this guy Godwin, that was a really, really big drop. You know, and there's a couple times where it seemed like he was in the wrong place. And so I think from Brady, it's like us at home, all we can go by is the stats. And it could be kind of an NBA effect where a guy just, you know, if it's the right situation, you just get a lot of stats. You get a lot of yards.
So what's the upshot?
I don't know how great those guys in Buffalo.
You
I'm
keep
sorry?
Saying Buffalo.
Tampa
you mean
Bay.
Tampa.
Tampa Bay. Bay. Yeah,
so what's the upshot?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Tampa Bay.
Sorry.
I keep thinking Buffalo because Evans was from Buffalo and Brady might have seen him there. But, no, yeah, I'm thinking obviously Evans is a beast, but I'm saying Godwin wasn't that great. I think the people in Tampa Bay were a little bit overrated, and that's why Brady wanted to bring in his boy, Antonio Brown. That's my
favorite. Yeah. No, there's merit to that. Absolutely. I think that Brady wants comfort. Gronk matters. Antonio Brown, even in that short snapshot, you know, everything I heard about the few practices he was there for was just insane to watch the way the two worked together when they were in New England. So
right.
I think Godwin is a good player.
He's good. I mean, Godwin had a breakout year last year. It was his third year in the league. And I know, you know, Kelly's saying we just look at the stats, but he was. He had a monster year last year. He's also been dealing with like a broken finger, or he had something where he came back really quick this year. And I think that's led to some of the drops. I think he's great.
I think he's a great player. I mean, the horrendous one was the kind of sliding one over the shoulder.
Yeah, that was surprising. But again, we see Edelman drop passes. We've seen, you know, a lot of guys drop passes. So I think Godwin's still really good. But there is something, like you said, he knows Gronk from a decade. Even though he only played one game with Brown, he obviously has a connection with Brown and he wants him. And because they could. Bruce Arians would do it.
I'm going to see. I mean, I'm going to be fascinated to see, especially if New Orleans advances and the Bucs have to play them, how much the Tom Brady pressure and urgency and puckering infests the rest of the team. Because even more so, and this was an observation I made in a story this week, Brady always knew when he took the field in New England, his defense was going to be set. There was going to be a plan. There was going to be organization discipline and game management situations were going to be on lockdown.
Right.
That's not the case in Tampa. So I think he's running even hotter there. And you look at these guys, and he's giving them the stink eye, and he's pissed off, and he's gesturing. They're just not used to it. They're not used to it from the head coach. And now that they're getting it, that I think that part of one of their weaknesses in this postseason, Rich, is Tom Brady's presence.
I understand, like, because of Tom Brady, they went from a 7-win team to an 11-win team, and here they are as one of the favorites in the NFC, but they don't have a lot of other guys that are used to that. And maybe that's going to be one of the great things that Gronk provides.
Gronk's he's a maniac. He doesn't always get the best out of some guys because of how he is.
Yeah. Now, that is interesting. And also, you know, if they do play the Saints and, you know, maybe not 21-0, but what if they're down 10 or 14-0?
100%.
I could see they feel like the team. You see this in basketball teams sometimes too. A basketball team gets down by 18 and they think there's like a 20-point shot, and they like run down. There's like heave, and like you could see them doing the same thing. And
especially when it's that downfield throwing to begin with.
Oh God, just chucking it into triple coverage.
It's insane to watch him doing this at 43 that he never did. Just standing back there and tilting the shoulders and just looking to throw a javelin.
Firing it down the field. Let's go to Allison in Cambridge. She joins us next. What's up, Allison?
Hey. Hi, guys. This show is a real treat.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I wanted to talk about the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But first, I just wanted to say something about the Houstons, which is, aren't we really saying that they have a problem with racism in the organization? I mean, didn't the letting go of DeAndre Hopkins, weren't we basically hearing that they were basically saying he was an uppity black person? Isn't that what really is going on here, Tom?
I think you just pinned the needle. I think when you say, do they have a problem with racism and did they identify him as an uppity black person, that would be a very negative and extreme read on its personnel decision. I mean, and we do a lot of that right now. We view certain things through a prism and pin the needle in a particular way. Do they have a problem with racism? They certainly have extremely conservative views that have been articulated to make someone who would be looking for that to say plenty of evidence that they might be. They have fences to mend, I think, with black players and certainly white players like J.J. Watt and others. I mean, their decision to move on from Amy Palsik, their
that was a head scratcher.
Vice President of Media Relations, yeah. Because perhaps of some Biden and Harris-related supportive tweets, again, it just begs the question of what direction that organization is headed in with its viewpoints and politics in a time when that's charged. You don't have to even invoke politics and a personal preference, Rich, without having to say, this stuff matters to people. You're blind if you don't think it's going to.
There was also that weird story that came out after they traded DeAndre Hopkins that Bill O'Brien had compared him to Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I mean, it's Allison's point on that. I mean, it's well-founded.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say a guy's a thug when he's never done anything.
Nothing.
I don't know if they have a backlog of investigations and PI files.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's
high school, junior high. I have no idea because
it's just charged, archaic mindset that is not going to fly or float in 2021, and it ought not.
Well, it also does seem like if Houston traded Watson, that would pop up as a story compared to like if Watson was on another team and they traded him, it would just be like, oh, you traded a talented guy. Period. Right? Like it would be sort of that. Whereas it probably would get brought up if they happen to deal him now. Let's go to Paul in Rhode Island. He's up next. What's going on, Paul?
Thank you for taking my call. Okay. Tom,
yes.
I got a couple of questions for you. Do you think that Grinnell had a little bit of view on bringing him Caserio back to Caserio to Houston?
Mm-hmm.
The other question I was going to ask you is Mr. Kraft willing to spend over $20 million on a quarterback? Give an example, Stafford
and
Garoppolo.
Good question. 10,
around 10 would be Jacoby or what's his name, Jameis Winston.
Yeah,
Taylor Heineken.
Absolutely.
Those are great questions, Paul.
Yeah.
And the first one, I don't think that Romeo Crennel at this juncture, I don't think Caserio needed any further pitching. So whether or not Romeo Crennel would have weighed in on that, I'm sure that he would have weighed into the positive for Caserio. But that question, the second question, is great because, you know, my understanding is that, you know, remember the report, Rich, during the Brady negotiations where he actually did have a conversation with Belichick and the reporting was, from what I got, it was, Bill somehow seems to be under the impression that Tom's still under contract here.
Right.
The upshot that I understood was, it was stated, look, we're not going over $22 million at the position for you. That's it. We're not doing that. So if he's not going to do that for him, is he going to be amenable to doing that for Stafford or Ryan or anybody else? I say absolutely freaking not.
See, I would say absolutely not too. However, you just had a full year of experiencing what it's like to have a quarterback who doesn't make that kind of money. And would that be enough to change your mind?
But
probably not.
There's nobody making $10 to $15 million. Phil Perry loves pounding that fact. Nobody makes $10 to $15 million.
It's less or more?
It's either 10 or 20. So,
because basically you're Teddy either Bridgewater signed to be a starter or you're signed to be a backup.
Teddy
right?
Bridgewater is 20. Marcus Mariota's 7.5 going up to 10 this year.
Okay.
So I would be in the market for a Brissett. I mean, honestly, I would, depending, you have to sign somebody first before the draft. You got to get somebody.
But that also, if you're going the under 10 route, then I think you have to use a first round pick on one.
Absolutely.
That's my opinion.
I agree. And I think you have to use a first round pick on them. Well, I mean, you can't force it. If all those four good quarterbacks are gone and Mac Jones is sitting there, please don't take him at 15.
I'm with you there. That's true.
But you're right. You have to get that guy before March 24th. Free agency starts March 17th.
What if I told you June 28th you decided to sign a quarterback again?
I'm going to tell you he's probably not very good, and he's definitely not your long-term answer.
Yeah. All right, you can join us on this at 617-779-7937. We'll get into the Patriots offseason checklist. We'll get back to the wild card weekend as well, but we'll get into the Patriots offseason moves that they need to make here coming up. It is Keefe and Curran, and you're listening to NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Cam Newton joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Wild card weekend in the NFL. A triple header yesterday. Another triple header today. The games yesterday saw the Buffalo Bills earn their first playoff win since 1995.
Keith, you want to guess how old I was in 1995?
You were, let's see, it's 2020, -3.
Oh, you're right, -3. Tom's holding up two, you were right. I was born in 1998, so yes.
How do you like that? Pretty good, pretty good. Bills 27-24 over the Colts. The second game saw the Rams defeat the Seahawks 30-24. Jared Goff replaced an injured John Wolford to come on and get the win. And Tom Brady and the Buccaneers defeated the football team 31-23. Tom Brady going back to the divisional round, his 31st career playoff victory. That is more than Joe Montana and Peyton Manning combined, or second and third on that list. The three games today start at 1:05, Ravens and Titans. It's followed by Bears and Saints, and then the night game, Browns taking on the Steelers. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, this is NFL Sunday. Keefe and Curran taking up until 1 o'clock here on WEEI, talking both wild card weekend, the three games yesterday, three more games today, as well as the Patriots off-season. Going back to the phones. Actually, let's bring back Allison in Cambridge because we cut her off too quick. She had another thing she wanted to get to. So, Allison, sorry about that, and what do you got?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say, with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, I really hate people separating them out. Basically, they had a 20-year marriage, a really good marriage for the most part. And with a good marriage, don't you think that you bring out the best of each of you? That you wouldn't be the same if you were with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Fair.
And I feel like people bring up yesterday, Tom Brady took less money, so he wanted more money. But the fact is, if Tom Brady had wanted to be paid like Peyton Manning, they wouldn't have had all the winning they did. That was part of the buying in to being able to do the unbelievable, miraculous thing that they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, with everything, with being in a sport that everything is about parity, it wasn't supposed to be. And they did the Deflategate, the Spygate, they did everything to try to knock us down. And it was still this miraculous thing.
You know what? And you're right, Allison, but the flip of that is, just like some marriages, there are things that you have to work through eventually. And the irreconcilable differences. One felt as if he was taken for granted. One felt as if, you know, Brady. One felt as if he was marginalized. One felt as if the other one wanted to move on. And eventually that's what led to where they ended up. But you're right. I mean, the marriage of the two is what made it possible. That's why I guess the ending was somewhat inevitable.
Yeah.
In the way it was going to go. Because it's not like a freaking Supreme Court.
Say one thing before I get cut off. Yeah. It's really talking about, though, saying who was more important during this 20-year period. No, I understand that it had to end. But it's to go back and say who was more important, especially basing it on this year. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm still a big Brady won the second one.
I understand where you're coming from on that, Allison, and thanks for the call.
Was Bill. Second decade was Tom.
I think you can really go season by season, and it's probably as simple as that, first 10 years, second 10 years. I think it's even split up Super Bowl-wise, and even though it was a really low-scoring game against the Rams, I still think the first three Super Bowls, certainly not suggesting that Belichick wins them with anybody, but I think there's more of a group of quarterbacks that win the first three with Bill in that defense, and there's a very, very small group of quarterbacks that probably win the second three. I also think... And I understand where she's coming from, being like, hey, they were both great, they're both the best, and why do you have to do it? It's also kind of like the crux of sports talk radio. Who's better?
Mm-hmm.
Player A versus player B, or coach A versus coach, or coach versus player. And I think because, Tom, we sort of retired Brady versus Manning so long ago that it morphed into Brady versus Belichick. That's what it is to me.
Yeah, and I think that so many Patriots fans recoil at the topic because somebody's going to be delegitimized in the conversation. So you have to remind everyone, like, this, any time that Tom Curran or Rich Keefe says, you know, 2010 through 2020 belonged to Brady, it still acknowledges that Bill Belichick is put Vince Lombardi and Bill Walsh together, and they don't equal what Belichick did.
Right.
That's nuts.
Oh, it's insane. I mean, the numbers for both of them, and that's the other thing, the numbers for both of them are so outrageous, and they lap whoever you think their peers are or whoever their potential rivals are at their spot, that you then had to compare the two. And the problem that Bill has in this argument is, up until this season, he was the only one who had any kind of resume without the other. And so you looked at the Cleveland years, and again, you could talk it up like, hey, he actually won the last Cleveland Browns playoff game. You know, he beat Bill Parcells in the playoffs with Cleveland, but also, you know, it wasn't great in the overall record. You have the Matt Castle year here in New England, which is a great, another one of these, Tom, that you can argue any side you want.
100%. It was a 5-game drop off, the same way this year was.
Right.
This year was a 5-game drop off. Tom Brady's worth 5 games over replacement. That's
also
insane.
Think Bill proved this year that he's going to roll out of bed and get you 6 or 7 wins.
100%. You know
so
why?
He proved that.
I mean, they had the best special teams by DVOA measures, which I do put stock in, for the first time. For the first time. They've been so great all these years, but they've never been number one.
Wow.
And this year with Justin Bethel and Matt Slater and Jake Bailey and Gunnar Olszewski, who won the All-Pro.
Yeah, you were right. Called that one. All
I mean, and Nick Folk kicking his face off.
I'll tell you what.
That earned them wins. If they didn't have those guys, Rich, how many games would they have lost?
Yeah, no, they would have been. They would have been much worse off.
They would have lost New York. They would have lost Arizona.
Yeah.
Was there another one?
Baltimore, maybe.
They lost that. But there's two games that they wouldn't have won had it not been for special teams.
Pretty crazy. And if the LA Chargers had this special teams, they would have made the playoffs easily. And I'm not saying the special teams is the be-all, end-all, but if it's that bad like it is with the Chargers or that good with the Patriots, like that's when it can have an impact, either, you know, positively or negatively. Back to the phones we go. We got Mark in Rockport. He joins us next year on NFL Sunday. What's up, Mark?
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good.
What's up, bud?
So we spent all season calling Bruce Arians the biggest clown in the NFL. By we, I mean the Boston media, including the EEI hosts, and not to be a hypocrite, but me too, and having fun calling him a clown. And basically we did that because he's forcing Brady to throw the deep ball. Meanwhile, the past 2 months, nobody has thrown a better deep ball than Tom Brady, and as of last night, that helped propel them into the second round of the playoffs. So I'm just wondering now if we're ready to back up the truck, beep, 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 you know, do a 180 and eat some humble pie for Bruce Arians, Coach of the Year.
I can't do that. I think that the bet, was it Romo? Who was it that was on that basically was saying it was Greasy, when Greasy was in and basically saying everything that Brady had an issue with. You know, they got to use pre-snap motion. They got to do this. They got to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, then Romo did do a game this year where Romo said.
It was Romo.
Oh, they put in some more Brady stuff, so they'll be fine. Like, they finally changed the offense for Brady. And you're like, okay.
And it was 100% had to be coming from
Brady.
From Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Bruce, but I mean, I got to be able to tell what I'm looking at over here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so I think it's a combination of the two, but you don't want to have Tom Brady standing back there for 3 or 4 seconds. Perusing.
No.
He needs
and no
to throw
surprise,
quick.
Though, his stats, too, when you look at when he has time or when he's protected versus when he has any pressure at all, that's why I thought there was a slim chance that the game could be close, because if Washington just got after him, because the last several weeks he had played against all teams with zero pass rush, and he just sort of stood back there, could throw it, pick teams apart, whereas I thought Washington would get after him a little bit, but really the story ended up being Taylor Heinicke in that game.
100%. I mean, honestly, that is, and you talked about it earlier, Gronkowski's role. He was kept in to help with Chase Young and help to neutralize him.
Yeah.
You know what's a big issue for that team going forward, though, is the Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, whoever the other kid was who had the fumble.
Yeah, Vaughn. Yeah.
Vaughn. In pass protection and, you know. They want to get out in the route so they don't get screamed at by Brady. And in so doing, sometimes they run past rushers who they should probably be helping on.
Yeah. Who do you think Brady yelled at more this year, his offensive line or his receivers?
Offensive line, I think, but just on volume and intensity early in the season.
Yeah, and like you're so close. Like the receiver's running back from the huddle, so he doesn't really get the full brunt of it, whereas the poor offensive guard has to like help Brady up and just get an earful.
Vaughn just got ripped a new one when he didn't turn around in time last night, too.
Yeah.
I had to rewind that to look at why he was so mad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was pissed. All right, we got a little sidetracked there, so when we come back, we will get into the Patriots' offseason moves and what should be on their checklist. We'll do all that, and you can join us as well at 617-779-7937. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEI.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet Studios, this is NFL Sunday. Keith and Kern, a wild card weekend edition. And I know I keep teasing Patriots offseason news or checklists, and we will get to that. But, Kern, I got to read you this Mort report from Chris Mortensen.
Yeah.
Reports about Deshaun Watson's, I'm reading the tweet. Reports about Deshaun Watson's unhappiness with the Houston Texans are accurate, and sources close to the QB say he is still angry about teams' insensitivity to social justice, including hiring practices, after the franchise failed to interview Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy this past week. Sources say Watson could play hardball with Texans about a trade. His new $156 million contract includes a no-trade clause, but informed speculation from a source is that he would consider the Miami Dolphins, in which Tua Tagovailoa and additional compensation goes to Houston, which I'll pat myself on the back, Tom. I suggested last week that if I'm Miami, I immediately call Houston and say, hey, we'll start with number three.
You want that third-round pick back?
And Tua.
100%. And
take it back.
Yep. We're talking about that on the pod this week with Phil Perry and
take
Matt Castle. Just send that pick back. It's like it didn't even happen. This is shaping up very – I mean, if you do swing that, suddenly the AFC East becomes a daunting-ass place to hang out.
Holy smokes. That is scary business.
But you've moved on. It's a $21.6 million hit that you'd take, but you're in line then for either Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. I don't think Justin Fields is anywhere near Deshaun Watson, nor will he be, but you're in line for it, so it makes sense. You know, it's funny because earlier this week when this started to emanate, there was so much speculation that whether this was smoke or fire, because when his first tweet went out, some things never changed. It was in the wake of authorities in Wisconsin declining to prosecute the Jacob Blake shooter, the police officer. So you couldn't tell if it was related to that or not. In essence, it's all related.
Yeah,
true. Football's related. The social justice stuff is related. And that, to me, is really – it's a bigger story and a bigger conversation than we're going to get into right now, but – the way the changing landscape of sports is going to be impacted by players deciding and asking owners, coaches, and GMs, and maybe even fan bases, what's your disposition towards social justice issues?
Well, I think also when you're talking about, all right, how does a 25-year-old top five quarterback get traded? Like, these are all the kinds of things that have to pop up for it to happen. You know, a guy who's a superstar who's happy with his team almost never ever gets traded. It's when a guy, for again, on-field issues, off-field issues, hiring practices, whatever it might be, if this whole storm comes together, this is where he could force his way out. And maybe now, I guess, you know, you mentioned Justin Fields and Zach Wilson. Do the Texans like Tua more than either of those guys? Because maybe they take Tua, then they draft, you know, the best defensive player available, or they even take the number three pick and trade that and could probably get a haul because somebody might be moving up there to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have things to do. I mean, ideally, you just have a happy Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, but that doesn't sound very likely at this
point. It sounds unlikely, and you're going to have to make a lot of moves to get him back. And in trying to get him back, you're going to have to go to him on bended knee to do that.
Yeah.
And they've created that themselves in many ways. So it's not really, I think a lot of people would say, well, where does this guy get off? Well, they've done a number of different things and stated a number of different things and allowed the franchise to move in a direction that finally has his antenna up to a point where it's like, you know what, enough. You know, it's one thing if it's a guy who's complaining about Kraft and an alliance with Trump in any way and ignoring all the other things the guy has done.
Right. Right.
Which I don't think happens here in New England. It would be a context-free type of discussion. But in Houston, the guy's got enough context to say, you know what, I don't like the way you guys operate.
I mean, the city of Houston could trade Deshaun Watson and James Harden in like a matter of days. They could trade.
And you talk about one's a likable guy and one I would, you know. speaking of Harden, too, we got a Celtics game tonight.
Yeah.
That is.
They're a little undermanned.
Holy crap. Just wanted to make mention of that.
Yeah, they are a bit undermanned. Now, this, I think, is extremely unlikely, but just for the – I got to ask anyway, what would be the absolute best trade package the New England Patriots could offer the Texans for Watson?
J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, who you're going to have to redo anyway.
Yeah, right.
The 15th overall pick, and next year's – first
yeah, I mean, multiple ones. So, yeah, so probably this year, next year's one. Yeah, so J.C. Jackson's a good one. You're like, what young player would they even want? Because Gilmore's interesting. Like, Gilmore, I still think, probably has another year left in him at that level. But if the Texans are in full rebuild mode, maybe they would rather something younger.
He's going to cost $20 million. I mean, that's going to be part of the reason if he does go, which I anticipate he will. The reason they don't go is because of he's not in the elite in terms of annual value on his contract. So you're going to have to bump him up immediately when he arrives.
So, yeah, I mean, they're just going to be nowhere near. If it even gets to this point, and if they're even, you know, seriously interested, it just there's no way. I feel like the Dolphins have the best. Now, the Jets could offer Sam Darnold and the number two pick and more. I think they have another first-rounder also. So they could do that. Those are probably the teams.
I mean, that to me is a great move, actually. The Jets and, send – 100%.
But I believe – I don't know when Watson's no trade kicks in, but I could see him saying no, unless the Jets hire Eric Bieniemy. And then, boom. Now they're legitimate.
Was Joe Douglas formerly with Kansas City?
Ooh, was he?
I don't know. It takes a Google.
I don't know. It's available to us somewhere.
But it's funny because when you think about that, that's a great move. That would be – well, that's a lot, though, still. But still, it's friggin' Watson.
It's Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You can join the program 617-779-7937. Patriots offseason, wild card weekend, Tom Brady, Buffalo Bills are winning playoff games. We're talking all about it with you. We have one final hour of the program coming up next. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, Kaplansky.com. By Zuti, build any app your company needs fast. Visit Zuti.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro.